Welcome to the Mark in the Morning podcast. Want to receive this daily? Search Mark in the Morning on iTunes, Stitcher, Audio Boom, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hosmer hits one to left. Back at the wall. This game's tied. Gone. Salvador Perez has made it 3-1 AL.
Well, the American League won it 4-2, so probably the Kansas City Royals have home advantage in the World Series.
Oh, no. They're not the best team in the American League anymore.
Mikey, how dare you? Did you just hear Salvador Perez from the Kansas City Royals?
Yeah, but they're like in third place.
You're in third place.
Cleveland is the best team in the American League. Actually, Texas and Cleveland.
Mark, keep talking.
I'm going to open every show with Shalimar from here on out. It just puts me in a good mood.
No.
All right. A lot of show. Let me run it down. Is Matt Lauer of the Today Show having an affair? Jennifer Aniston is fed up. A robot that parks your car, but it's how it does it that makes it so freaking cool. Morale. Florida woman arrested. She was driving under the influence of the Lord.
Oh.
Lamar Odom. Man, did you hear?
Oh, no. What now?
Oh, no.
There's You're more?
Okay. The worst since it began. 5 seconds for $15. Rolling Stone magazine came out with a list of their top 100 Beatles songs. I focused on the top 25. Today, I give you 15 through 11, and a list of animal groupings. What do you call them? More fun today. We'll give away 2 family 4-packs to the Orange County Fair so that you can come see us, Mark in the Morning and Andy in the Afternoon, July 23rd, Saturday noon at the Heritage Stage. We're putting on a show. 5 reasons today doesn't suck. We speak with Bernie Sanders and a rousing round of Did You Know? All of it coming your way on Mark in the Morning. All right, this is for Gina because Gina loves musicals. Gina loves Broadway.
Yes,
Gina
sir.
Loves Hamilton.
Yes.
So 3 of the actresses, and it says here it's the Schuller sisters. I'm not sure if they're
Schuyler,
actually.
The Schuyler sisters.
Schuyler. Yeah. Are they actually sisters?
In history, yes. On the stage,
oh,
no.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, they apparently decided to do an a cappella version of The Longest Time in their dressing room, and then they posted it on YouTube.
Awesome.
Here it is, Gina. The part of Hamilton.
Oh, the new guy?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot his name. He started, and a couple other of the actors started the same night. I personally feel so sorry for them. I don't know how you follow the creator of the entire musical who starred in it, but I'm sure they'll be great. I just hope people give them the chance that they deserve.
Now, this lead dude, how long did he do the show?
Lin-Manuel Miranda?
Yeah.
Since they were workshopping it well before Broadway, he wrote it. And he wrote it for, you know, to have that part of Hamilton.
But I think my point is, has it been like 10 years?
Oh, I think it came to Broadway only last year. So I think it's been about a year. Because he his fame got so pushed into the stratosphere that I think he's gotten a ton of other offers he couldn't walk away from.
Wow.
I'm sure we're going to start seeing him in movies. I'm sure he'll probably put out an album. I think he just got so popular so fast, he got some opportunities he didn't want to ignore.
Dude, I got to say, if I wrote a Broadway show and was starring in it and killing every night, I don't know how I could walk away from it.
Well, why don't you? Thompson.
Now, I want to talk about Mike TV, because Mikey, you know, he loves his Mike TV and he always does a great job. Today, he said, you've got to promote it. I have a version of Freebird that you have never heard.
Yeah.
So that's going to be in Mike TV.
It's impressively great. You're going to love it. Everyone's going to love it.
Okay. I'm pumped. I'm amped. I'm excited. Cool. Now, let's talk about Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go.
Oh, must we?
Look, I'm 60. I don't even know what it is.
You called it a Pokemon yesterday.
Now, let's talk it through, because I do know that it is a game. You're looking at your phone, and the phone is looking at where you are, and Pokemon pops up or something?
Yeah, they're calling it augmented reality as opposed to virtual reality, because it's just a little picture of a Pokemon superimposed on your phone. But all kinds of people are walking into traffic. People are getting into huge trouble. And maybe our digital guy, Michael, who's, you know, 87 years younger than us, will be able to explain, because I'm pretty sure he wandered into the studio yesterday to get a Pokemon off Danny's head. So he's going to need to break this down, because I still don't know what's going on.
Well, there are several issues. Now, there are places, public places, that are saying you cannot play that game here.
Mm-hmm.
That's already started. One of the things we're going to have to get into, because it's time for break, but they're saying that all of your private information is available to whoever wants it. That is not a good thing, I'm assuming.
Correct.
They know your location. They know where you are. Bad, right?
Bad, and it goes deeper than that. If you don't change certain settings on your phone, it's even worse, and we'll tell you why.
Okay, we'll fully explain that.
Now, the name soon to be heard around the universe is Mr. Mike TV. You love to watch TV, Mike?
You bet.
Yeah, I do, and America's Got Talent, man. They are really stepping it up this year. They've got an amazing group of talented people. And last night, a band called Lincoln Bridge, I guess they were an a cappella group. I don't know if they actually play instruments on other stuff, but they covered Lynyrd Skynyrd's Freebird, and you'll never hear it like this ever again. Here we go.
If I leave here tomorrow, would you still remember me? Trembling, oh, now, baby. There's too many places I gotta see. And whoa, 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 whoa. 'Cause if I stay just wouldn't be the same.
But wait, wait, it gets even better.
Free bird, just fly.
good is that?
It paid off. You said it's great, and it was. And this is connected. Lynyrd Skynyrd's lead singer, Johnny Van Sant, was hospitalized yesterday complaining of chest pains. The prognosis, we're told, is good. I had a chance to say hey to him. Great dude before the Doheny Blues Festival. So prayers to him. Hope that all goes well.
There you go. There's Mike TV.
Sit, Boo Boo. Sit. Good dog.
So yesterday, the five slain Dallas police officers were memorialized. President Obama was there, and he had this to say.
I'm here to insist that we are not as divided as we seem. And I know that because I know America. I know how far we've come against impossible odds.
He continues.
We know there is evil in this world. That's why we need police departments.
Right after President Obama spoke, the police chief of the Dallas Police Department was introduced. Gina.
Yeah, David Brown, obviously he has had a very, very difficult few days, but somehow he decided that a little levity was needed and making everyone smile was definitely the way to go. So here's a little bit of his speech.
When I was a teenager and started liking girls, I could never find the right words to express myself. And after a couple of words, they just walk away, leaving me figuring out what do I need to do to get a date. And so being a music fan of 1970s rhythm and blues love songs, I put together a strategy to recite the lyrics to get a date. So for girls I liked, I would pull out some Al Green or some Teddy Pendergrass or some Isley Brothers, and I'd recite the lyrics to their love songs. But for people I loved, if I fell in love with a girl, oh, I had to dig down deep and get some Stevie Wonder. To fully express the love I had for the girl. So today, I'm gonna pull out some Stevie Wonder for these families. So families, close your eyes and just imagine me back in 1974 with an afro and some bell bottoms and wide collar. We all know sometimes life's hate and troubles can make you wish you were born in another time and place.
And he keeps reciting from there, and it's really, really beautiful.
It is, and I got to, as I was sitting here listening, knowing the setting that he's in, as a person who speaks publicly, I would have been so nervous about attempting that. Because it could either be great like it was or just the worst.
Yeah.
So I would have. Also, former President Bush was there and I saw his speech and then I heard there's controversy about whatever. It wasn't in his speech. It was during a song, right? He's holding Michelle Obama's hand.
Yeah, first of all, he had some really beautiful words in that speech. So the speech was great. But yeah, Mikey pointed this out yesterday.
During the Battle Hymn of the Republic, he decided to just start dancing to the beat of the drum.
Yeah, everybody's holding hands. It's very somber. You have Obama in the middle, Michelle Obama next to him, George Bush next to her, George's wife next to him, and everyone's kind of just bowing their head and nodding. Well, he puts his hands up and starts doing a little dance and looking at the audience and smiling. It was very confusing to Michelle Obama, who kept kind of trying to wrangle him in. But I think he just got swept up in the song. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah. But you can see it for yourself. We're not exaggerating. You'll see. Mark in the Morning Facebook page, we have that up. It was very interesting.
It was a very patriotic moment, I think, for him.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to review. I'll go to Mark in the Morning Facebook and check it out. Gina!
Yeah?
What's trending?
Oh, well, two powerhouse California lawyers have stepped down from Bill Cosby's criminal sex assault case in the latest shakeup of his legal team. New images have been revealed on the Disney Park blog on what we might be able to expect from Star Wars Land that's being built inside Disneyland. The pictures feature the Millennium Falcon in a cargo bay, as well as a flight simulator. And here's what's trending in sports. Kobe and Vanessa Bryant announced they're welcoming their third kid into the family. Kobe posted on social media that their daughters Gianna, who's 10, and Natalie, who's 13, will soon have another sister to play with. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. Coming up, whatever you do, don't take a sign to a Guns N' Roses concert. But first, the Cars. This is Mark in the Morning.
A fan who attended Guns N' Roses show in Nashville on Saturday says the band's security ripped up a sign she had made that said, "Where's Izzy?" The sign was inspired by the one used in the Don't Cry video, which then-guitarist Izzy Stradlin famously missed in 1991. Carolyn Campo says she held the sign up when former Guns N' Roses drummer Steven Adler joined the band to play a couple of songs, and that Axl Rose saw it and started laughing. Then, she alleges that during November Rain, members of Guns N' Roses security came looking for her and the sign. She claims, quote, "A guy in jeans and a black shirt tapped my shoulder and said, 'Is that your sign? You need to give it to me.' I said, 'Why? Who are you?' He showed me a badge and said, 'I'm with the band, and they've asked for the sign to be removed.' I said, 'We aren't allowed to have signs.' But I read that," and she cussed, "and he cut me off and said, 'You can't have that sign. Give it to me.' I gave it to him, and he walked away folding and ripping it up. Axl Rose hasn't changed a bit," so says the story. But Guns N' Roses camp denies having anything to do with this. A rep tells Guns N' Roses, "Would never make this request. Izzy is family." So you're going to tell me that the security guard would act on his own?
No. I like that Axl laughed. Maybe he has a little sense of humor, but then thought, I don't like looking at this the whole show.
So now, why is Izzy Stradlin not in the band? Is he around?
Mikey?
He left the band before they broke up, the big breakup. I just don't think that, I don't know who doesn't want to be part of it. I don't know if Izzy doesn't want to be part of the band or if the band doesn't want Izzy back. I have no idea. But in my opinion, I think Axl was looking out for the fans sitting behind the lady with the sign, because she's holding a sign up and people behind them can't see Axl.
What about the hordes of people that are yelling, "Axl, take me backstage," with their signs up? Is he okay with that?
Yeah, of course. Because they hold it at their chest.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Mark?
Boy, you sure make lemonade out of lemons.
I just thought of Mikey's superpower. What his superpower name is. The Justifier.
Yeah, I like that.
So, yeah, I can't, because Gina's correct. That wasn't the only sign in the room. Mm. And did the security go around and tear those up? Okay, I'll go with it. All right, question. So last night was one of those nights, and normally I don't have too many of them, but I got to sleep, and I then woke up, and I spent the majority of the night trying to get back to sleep. And then I would go back to sleep for a little bit,
worst.
And then I would wake up and then try to get back to sleep. It was a night of tossing and turning. My question to you is, do you stay in the bed, or do you get up? Now, I'll tell you, I stay in the bed. Because if I get up, I have to turn the alarm off, which wakes Linda up. And then if I leave the room, she doesn't go back to sleep.
Mm, I thought you were a getter-upper, no?
I have been. But see, like I say, the problem
is trapped.
I ruin her sleep.
Right.
So it's better for me in that situation just to stay where I am.
Right. Well, I'm definitely a stay where I am-er, because I feel like getting up and doing something else, even though that's what they recommend, is admitting defeat, and I shall not admit defeat.
See, with the work schedule that you hold, I can't even imagine that you wouldn't just fall out.
Well, I wish I could. Sometimes I can, but especially I've upped my workout game, so that actually helps me sleep.
It does.
I will go sleep on the couch sometimes, just because I want to toss and turn. I'm not tired. I want to look at my phone. I don't want to wake Tim up. But then it always creates that weirdness in the morning, like, what happened? Like, what did I do that I forgot about? I'm like, no, I just couldn't sleep. So I try to stay put, but if I can, I'll go sleep somewhere else.
Not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, I was awake at 1 a.m. And I got up And I came down here to the studio and I just started working. I had the entire show prepped by 4 a.m. I was ready to do a show at 4 a.m.
That's great.
And as I put my paper down, I just kind of got, I'm sitting right here in this chair and I just got kind of woozy. And I just climbed back in bed for an hour or two because I'd already done the work.
That's smart.
Well, again, like I say, I can't do it because it wakes her up and then she's up.
Wait a second. Why would you take the 3 million mile march back to your bedroom when you have a perfectly good dog bed right behind you?
All right, so coming up, I've got brand new music from two classic rock artists. The first, Elton John. The second, John Anderson, formerly of Yes.
Ooh.
Get that minute. We've got 5 seconds for $15 coming up in about 10 minutes. If you want to play, dial right now, 888-696-1003. We also have a topic poll. It's about breastfeeding in public. Gina told a story yesterday about a woman who was in a store and her child started crying. So she moves over to the left side of the store, mm-hmm. kind of in an aisleway. And she starts breastfeeding. The clerk told her, you can't do that here, and offered to take her to a back room or whatever. So the question is this. If you see breastfeeding in public, how does it make you feel? Now, I'll be honest with you. To me, it's hot.
Yeah, I knew that was coming.
Well, look, not only is there a boob involved.
Yeah.
I have always had a thing because I've got a wife who's raised kids.
Yeah.
When I see a mother out, say in the mall, and she's well-dressed and pretty and her kids are great dressed and look great and they're mannered, that's just hot to me because this is a woman that's got it under control.
Yeah, I see that.
So I got no, look, breastfeeding your child, hot, sorry.
But, Mark, we're a country, the pilgrims with the buckled shoes and the high neck. We don't do breastfeeding, exposed breasts in public.
Good God.
So this guy, he said he had it with women, or actually, I'm sorry, not with women, but people in general telling his wife to cover up while she was breastfeeding. So he made this hilarious video. We put it up on Mark in the Morning Facebook. And he says, this is how hard it is to eat under a towel.
And I wish I didn't have to eat with a blanket over my head. Maybe I should just go sit in the toilet.
So now he's trying to feed himself under the blanket. He's putting the cup over his towel. He's just making a funny video out of it. So we want to know what you think because, you know, you could be as, you know, progressive as possible, but sometimes things just creep you out. So what side are you on? Mikey hated this, but I made him do it anyway. Text 21003, you go or hell no. And let us know what you think about public breastfeeding.
Yeah, I will say when I see it, I immediately, my brain goes, don't look.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to be the perv standing right, there right. staring at her. You know, you just can't do it.
Right.
But yeah, I'm in favor. The kids got to eat.
Yeah, kids got to eat.
What are you going to do? Okay.
You cheating hard.
The cheating website Ashley Madison is no longer encouraging you to have an affair. As part of a rebranding effort, the site's owner has ditched their old slogan, which is, life is short, have an affair, to the new slogan, which is, find your moment.
Very vague.
New CEO Rob Siegel says the old slogan was a limiting label that's outdated and doesn't speak to the wide variety of connections people find on Ashley Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we to believe what they say is true? There's 999,000 men and 4 women on Ashley Madison?
4 women and 1 million spam bots. So, yes. Ooh. It's like girls like, hello, hot stud. I'm Ashley, last name Madison. Like, they have automated girls that try and lure the dudes in, or at least they did.
Wow.
Allegedly. But that was the whole thing, you know, and you had to pay to be taken off of Ashley Madison. So a dusting of extortion, perhaps. But
wow.
they want you on that site and they do not want you to leave.
Why do you have to pay to get off?
Because
the site.
You don't just go to Craigslist. No, I think it's because it's a taboo subject. It's a little shaming for most of the population. And when you decide all of a sudden you've hit a moral plateau and you want out, they say, okay, very good. We're going to charge your credit card one more time.
All right, I don't want to be the old guy, but Craigslist. Now, talk me through. So people go on Craigslist and they say what they want and somebody meets them somewhere and does it to them?
They have like a men for men, a men for women, a women seeking whatever, you know, like the classifieds. But they used to have this thing called roses. Oh my God, this was so great. Because you couldn't out and out say, hi, I'm a prostitute and this is what I charge. So they'd say, are you feeling lonely? Come on over, you know, and I'll take care of you for 50 roses, which were dollars. Mm. So I don't know if they're still doing that, but that was one of my favorite things.
Wow. Dude, I was single and on the radio in the 70s where the worst you could get was something that an injection would get rid of. I had a good time from 70 to 80.
You are so lucky there was no internet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that would have been bad.
Yeah.
That would have been no good. And Elton John has put aside his negative feelings about music videos to star in his first one in 11 years. It's for his new single, A Good Heart. Here's a piece.
Don't shy away from coming in. Closer still, my darling friend. Don't slip, don't trip.
I've seen all good people die.
And John Anderson, the original voice of Yes, is previewing samples of his new album, Invention of Knowledge. Here is a piece of Invention Part 1. Still sounds good, man.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
All right, if you have an opinion on either Elton's new piece or John Anderson's new piece, let us know. 888-696-1003.
5 seconds for $15.
Yes, it's huge. $15 today. It's crazy. We go to Robert from Valencia. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Mark. How you doing?
Doing good. What do you want?
Pepsi.
A Pepsi.
All right, Robert. Why do I think I've talked to you before?
I talked to you years ago, Dishwalla, and at the Santa Monica Pier.
Oh, I promise that's not what he was thinking of.
I actually do remember that.
No we put way!
We put the band Dishwalla on the Santa Monica Pier for a live show.
That's awesome.
It was thousands of people. It was awesome. Robert, did we meet?
No, we did not.
Let's keep it that way.
It's just a deal.
All right, Robert, it's $15 today. If you get it, you get 15 bucks, which buys you a beer at Dodger Stadium. Mm-hmm. If you don't, tomorrow is 20 bucks, and I've picked a question that is very gettable. Are you ready, you pile of crap?
Yes, I am.
All right, here we go. In what film did Daniel Craig make his first appearance as James Bond?
Goldfinger.
Oh, my God.
Hey, I don't watch those movies.
Ooh.
Gina?
Goldfinger. I don't know. I don't know any of those movies either.
It is my single favorite James Bond film of all 38 or however many there are. It is Casino Royale.
Oh, that's it. My kids love that thing.
Yeah, it's so great. Gina, you ought to pull the plug.
All right.
Robert, thank you for listening and thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Coming up, Rolling Stones list of their favorite 100 Beatles songs. I've got 15 through 11 right after this. We played some brand new music from Elton John and John Anderson. I asked what you thought about it. Justin has called. Good morning, Justin.
Good morning, Mark. How are you, bud?
Really good. So what did you think of Elton's new song?
I love that new song. last time I talked to you was when you were doing the thing with Brian. I called in one morning, and you were doing the top 10 greatest drummers of all time. And I nominated Nigel Olsen, who's my dad. And, of course, he's been the drummer since the very beginning of time with Elton. And that's his favorite track as well. The video is quite well done. You know, they're all having a blast with the new album. First album they've done all together in the studio like they used to, instead of having everything cut piece by piece. They had a great time, and the album's fantastic, but I just wanted to call and get my two cents about it, man.
Well, Justin, tell your dad to get his ass in here.
Definitely do. You're supposed to be going to Vegas. That's what you told me last time.
I think that went away. There was talk of it, but it went away.
Well, you got to get to Vegas. You guys, that's still a great show. They're still having a good time doing that. But the new album is different. My dad loved that song, A Good Heart, because it's got that old classic feel to it, where, you know, that very rock ballad type thing.
Well, Justin, I will absolutely check it out, and thank you so much for the call. All right, here we go. Rolling Stone Magazine, top 100 Beatles songs of all time today, 15 through 11. Number 15.
Help, I need somebody. Help.
Do I actually need to say which song this is?
Help, I don't know. Help.
When I was younger, so much younger than today.
So good, man.
Anybody's help in any way.
With the list of the Beatles songs, we're also combining groups of animals. What are they called? First up, if you have a grouping of wild cats, you have a destruction.
That's about right. Funny, because it's true.
A destruction of wild cats. Now, Mikey, what so far in this list have you had the biggest problem with?
What was it? Strawberry Fields yesterday?
No. Strawberry Fields hadn't been shown yet.
Oh, what was... I can't remember, man. I forget everything after that.
Well, he's
over.
Done some bitching.
Yeah.
Here now is, out of all the songs the Beatles did, Rolling Stone says this is number 14.
She loves you, yeah.
14.
Yeah. They easily could have been top 10.
They do not respect a classic.
Yeah. Respectable at 14, though.
Just for historical purposes.
It's the harmonies that we fell in love with right here. When you have a grouping of cobras, you have a quiver. A quiver of cobras. Number 13.
I feel like this is a perfect 13.
No, this needs to be in the top 10.
It's what I love about lists. Nobody can agree. When you have a grouping of crabs, you have
a problem.
The shampoo with the little comb.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it more than life. A grouping of crabs is a cast.
Huh.
And the next two are my favorite of the day. Number 12. Norwegian Wood. By the way, the last one was Revolution.
Number 9.
This is surprising that, because I love this song, but I wouldn't have picked this in the top 50.
What?
Really?
Mikey,
No.
Take your headphones off.
No, I'm saying I personally do, but I don't think the general masses think
really?
Of this song as great.
Oh,
yeah.
It's beautiful.
I've always liked it.
Yeah.
When you have a group of doves, you have a paddling of doves.
Huh. A paddling, you say?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know why these names exist. Why can't you go, there's a bunch of doves? And suddenly you come up like an ass. There's a paddling of doves over there.
Okay,
get the weird
Einstein.
Guy away from me.
Yeah.
All right. Number 11, according to Rolling Stone, the number 11 best Beatles song.
It's been a hard
A Hard Day's Night.
That
A Hard Day's Night didn't break the top 10.
It did not.
Literally the note that changed the world right there, that first
right,
note.
Right, the first and one, that not, very first one.
And that's not in the top 10?
Rolling, what you say? What little publication did this?
Rolling Stone.
Okay, that's the one. Wow.
And when you have a group of eagles, you have a convocation. Instead of, look, there's a bunch of eagles. Now, as we've been telling you, Mark in the Morning and Andy in the Afternoon, along with Joe Benson and Chick on the Street, we're going to be at the Orange County Fair Saturday, July 23rd. We're giving away two family four-packs of tickets so that you can join us. If you want to play a rousing round of Family Feud, call right now, 888-696-1003.
Why don't you put on the red light, Roxanne?
All right, Saturday, July 23rd, we're going to be at the Orange County Fair. Not just making an appearance, we're putting on a show, so we're giving away tickets. Our first two competitors are Lois and Dale. Good morning, people.
Morning.
Good morning.
All right, your name is your buzzer. I'm going to give you the category. You yell your name, wait to be called on, and then you each will have a chance. If you win, you move to the championship. If you don't, we'll say goodbye and not mean it. Here's your category. 100 people were surveyed. Top five answers are on the board. Name a question a father might ask his daughter's new boyfriend.
Dale.
Dale.
Do you have a car?
That's where you go.
Good
survey
answer.
Says,
good answer.
Mark.
Survey says... Danny, you just said survey says there.
No.
Stupid machine.
You're just going to have to make a noise.
All right, Lois.
What time are you bringing her home?
Oh, it's a good one.
Number three with 10.
Yeah.
Survey says number three. Lois, you're in the championship round. All right, Jackie, let's go to Jeff and James.
All right,
thank you,
to go.
Jackie. Jeff, James, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, you understand the game. You use your name, yell your name as your buzzer, right?
Yep,
got it.
Here we go. 100 people were surveyed. Top 10 answers are on the board. Name an American city that begins with the letter S.
Jeff. St. Louis.
Survey says number five. Ooh. With four respondents. James.
San Antonio.
Good answer. Good answer.
Yeah.
Survey says number nine. The winner is
Jeff.
Jeff. Woo-hoo. All right. So it's Jeff and Lois on the championship round. Lois, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you do for a living?
I work as an office manager.
You like that?
I do.
You married with kids?
I do have children, but no husband.
Oh, okay. Now, did you get divorced or you're just slut?
Oh, my God.
Well, both.
I love the answer, Lois. Loving you. And Jeff, what do you do for a living, Jeff?
Construction coordinating.
And do you like that job?
Yeah, I like it. Good company I work for.
What do you make a year?
I make around 80 grand.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Your voice is your buzzer. It's like I'm at the zoo.
It really is.
Or the fair, Mark.
All right, here we go. 100 people were surveyed. Top 10 answers are on the board. Name something that gets sliced.
Jeff.
Lois.
Jeff.
I'd say pie.
Survey says?
Oh, my goodness.
Lois, name something that gets sliced.
Fruit.
Good answer. Good answer. Mike.
Wait. Survey says?
Ah.
Number two, tomato with 18 responses. Lois!
The fruit.
We're going to see you at the Orange County Fair Saturday, July 23rd.
Awesome!
Good job, Lois.
Aw. Hey, was pizza number one?
No.
Tomato.
No, that was number two.
No, that was number two. Respondents, number one, bread. Oh. Number two, tomato. Number three, cheese. Number four, meat. Nice. Number five, cake. So I guess that would be there.
Wow. Yeah. All right.
All right. Hey, so Saturday.
We need some talent there.
I'm getting to it.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
So Saturday, July 23rd, me, Gina, Andy Chanley, Christian Hand, Joe Benson, Chick on the Street, we're at the Orange County Fair. We're opening up with a fill-in-the-blank with Matt and Frank. Jeremy Benson, Joe's son, is going to join. So the only thing we're really using from the track is Geddy Lee's lead vocals. And I know, keyboards, Mikey. So Matt, Frank, and Jeremy will fill in the blank. Then Matt's band Big Language does a 5-song set, 3 classic rock covers, 2 originals. We then are going to have stupid listener talent. Now, I'll give you 2 examples of what we're not looking for people to come out and sing and tell jokes. We want stupid stuff. 2 things. One guy who's coming has a bald head with an area right in the back where he can suction a beer, the bottom of a beer can to his head. His wife stands behind him. He then bends over backwards and pours the beer in her mouth, which it goes all over. Then, one year we had a guy whose job it was to take apart boxes. And his hands were like scissors. He could take a giant box and get rid of it in 3 seconds. That's what we're looking for. All you have to do, if you have a stupid talent and you want to be able to go to the fair for free, then you text the word talent to 21003. Tell us what your talent is and give us contact information. So that is, oh, I was told we have to check with the fair to see if dogs can be brought in. My daughter Amy's boyfriend Bradley's mom, Jaylene, trains world champion frisbee dogs. Sprint will be coming as long as we get permission from the fair. But you'll have a chance to see a short show of a national champion. Plus, the shirt that I wore in the Mark's Back campaign, Danny's already bought the mannequin. It'll make an appearance at the fair. There'll be a fence around it with the Mark in the Morning commemorative goat killer. Yeah. If you reach to touch the shirt, he will rip your arm off. So Saturday, July 23rd, the Orange County Fair, we're doing it at the Heritage Stage. There are only 800 seats. The last time that we did the fair, which was last year, before we started, there was 1,000 people. We had to get on the radio and say, if you're not there, don't come. We're cutting the line off.
And we didn't even do anything. We just stood there. This is a full show. We'll be doing lots of fun things.
Listen, it's going to pack out. And then after the show, we'll mingle around and say, hey, and do all that. So it's going to pack out. So if you want to make sure that you've got a chair, you're going to have to get there early and do the old stand in line thing.
And then enjoy the fair the rest of the day.
Oh, the fair. The Orange County Fair is my absolute favorite. It is the very best. So Saturday, July 23rd, Orange County Fair. 2 more family 4-packs tomorrow. Trending, Gina.
Okay. As anticipation builds for Donald Trump to name his vice presidential pick, 2 hopefuls, Indiana Governor Mike Pence and former House Speaker Newt Gingrich, appear to be the front runners, according to a person familiar with the deliberations. The Pokemon Go game is getting out of control, with staffers at both the 9/11 Memorial and the Holocaust Museum reminding patrons that this is hallowed ground and a place not to play games on your phone. And here's what's trending in sports. The American League beat the National League during the All-Star game yesterday with a lot of help from Kansas City Royals Salvador Perez. I'm Gina Grant, and that's what's trending online. Did Matt Lauer have an affair? And boy, is Jennifer Aniston fed up. We'll tell you why in just a few minutes. But first, Fleetwood Mac, this is Mark in the Morning.
And now, 5 reasons today doesn't suck.
1.
Byrds frontman Roger McGuinn celebrates his 74th birthday today. This song, 8 Miles High, became one of the signature songs of the Byrds. Frontman Roger McGuinn explains what inspired it.
8 Miles High was a song that we wrote after coming back from an ill-fated tour to England. It was our first trip to England, and we were real excited about going over there, and we met the Beatles and everything. But I got the flu, and we weren't performing very well, and the press was very caustic and tore us to ribbons. And we were young kids, and we didn't know how to take it and roll with it. So we got upset about it, and we came back and wrote 8 Miles High as kind of a protest about tour to England. That's what it was all about.
Some of the best music is born out of angst.
Agreed.
2.
Happy birthday. Cameron Crowe, director, 59 years of age, writer-director. He wrote and directed Elizabethtown, Almost Famous, Jerry Maguire, We Bought a Zoo, Vanilla Sky, Fast Times at Ridgemont High. The one-time Rolling Stone reporter was, until 2010, married to Heart's Nancy Wilson.
And wait,
hi, Jerry.
Hi, Ray. Aren't you supposed to be in bed?
Yeah.
Yeah. I won't tell.
The human head weighs 8 pounds.
What were you saying, Mikey?
His new show, Roadies, on Showtime is fantastic. It's like Almost Famous, but a TV show. It's great.
Jerry Maguire, written and directed by Cameron, is one of the greatest films of all time.
Yep.
You see, I saw it, and I was in a place at the time, and I only saw the angst that Jerry's character was going through. Years later, somebody said, wasn't that a great love story? And I'm like, wait, what?
Huh?
I missed that whole part.
That whole arc?
Yeah, I really did.
3.
Happy birthday. Cheech Marin is 70.
Hey, you want to get high, man?
That's how they do. They got wooden balls, man.
4.
Happy birthday to Harrison Ford. He's 74 years of age.
May the force be with you.
Thank you, Harrison. And finally,
5.
Representing the Sunshine District, welcome Main Street.
Today is Barbershop Appreciation Day. I hate this crap.
Wait, barbershop or barbershop quartet?
Yes, barbershop. Sorry, sorry. Left out quartet. We need quartet.
We love the songs.
You don't like barbershop quartets?
No, not at all.
Oh, I love them.
Now, I like a cappella groups.
Yeah.
But I mean, when this crap was popular, the front wheel on your bicycle was the size of an elephant. I wasn't around. I can't.
Doesn't it
I
make
can't.
You think of old-timey, you know, kids running around with the cotton candy and the playing the hoop with the wheel and...
Yeah, which why would I want to think about that?
Sounds fun.
Well, I'm going to find
like, it sounds like Willoughby.
Well, yeah. Now, Willoughby I love, yeah. but that's watching four guys wearing straw hats, wearing striped vests. Come on, wake the hell up. Time for Soap Opera Corner. There are strong denials all around, but insiders at the Today Show believe that something was going on between Matt Lauer and co-host Natalie Morales.
Ooh.
That could be a major scandal if they were hooking up. Both are married. In her defense, Natalie declared, quote, "There is absolutely no truth to this completely absurd story. It is damaging, hurtful, and extremely sexist." However, a source told the New York Post that Natalie's decision to move cross-country to join Access Hollywood was probably necessary after a bitter breakup with Lauer.
Oy.
The insider claimed, quote, "There is speculation. It's one of the reasons why she's moving. There's an awkwardness between Matt and Natalie. He protected her for a long time, but now it seems like something has gone awry." Matt Lauer also denies the allegation, saying, quote, "Every aspect of this story is completely untrue." And finally, writing in the Huffington Post, actress Jennifer Aniston has declared, quote, "For the record, I am not pregnant. What I am is fed up." She went on for several paragraphs to complain about the tabloids dissect celebrities. Jennifer wants to put a stop to this notion that women are somehow incomplete, unsuccessful, or unhappy if they're not married with kids.
Good for her.
Coming up, we speak with Bernie Sanders. Now, Bernie Sanders has officially endorsed Hillary Clinton for president. We have Bernie on the phone right now. Thanks for calling in, Bernie.
Yes, thank you for having me, Mark. And yes, I am putting my full support behind Hillary Clinton. I think she will make a wonderful president, oh dear God.
What was that?
What was what?
The last thing you said.
Not sure what you mean. Anyway, Hillary will be a tremendous leader. And I couldn't be more excited for her. Sweet Jesus, how could I have let everybody down like this? My God.
See, Bernie, you did it again.
You must be hearing things. Hillary will be the finest president we've ever had. I have nothing left in this life that gives me purpose. Why, dear God, why? No, God, why?
Bernie, you keep tacking negative things into the ends of your otherwise positive sentences.
No, I wouldn't do that. I have no reason to be negative. Another Clinton in the White House will be wonderful. How will I ever be able to perform in the bedroom again? My wife doesn't respect me. It's bad enough that I smell like rotten cabbage and a brush fire downstairs. Now she has another excuse to close off her lady business.
Bernie, stop, please.
Stop. I will never stop singing Hillary's praises. She gives hope to every little girl that one day she can become president. My life used to be filled with such promise, and now it's a vast, barren wasteland of failure. Sweet Lord, who would have thought the final chapters of my life story would be such a steaming pile of hot garbage?
Bernie, it's enough. I mean, I know you're bummed that you have to support Hillary, but spending the latter portion of your sentences wallowing in self-pity is not the answer.
I guess you're right. I'm going to be positive for the entire portion of my sentences, not just the first 50%.
That's great. Thanks for calling in, Bernie.
No problem. And next time you hear from me, I'll be campaigning for the future president of the United States, Hillary Clinton.
Super duper.
Yes. I'll be campaigning for her, and hopefully she'll win. Oh, who cares, even if she does, once this election is over, my unruly eyebrows and my cabbage britches and I are going to run away, never to be heard from again. Seriously, my drawers smell like sauerkraut that's been left out in the sun. I haven't felt the tender touch of my wife since our honeymoon, and even then, she held a nose most of the time.
Goodbye, Bernie.
Feel the burn, or don't. I don't care anymore. Life is meaningless.
Oh, wait. Eric.
Yes.
Eric, who's our voice actor, he does all the sketches for us. I understand that one of your daughters is having a birthday today.
Yes, my one daughter, my oldest daughter, Anna, is 6 today.
That is such a great age. What's the plan? What's the birthday plan?
Well, she, you ready for this? Mm. She requested that I grill pork tenderloin for dinner tonight.
She is a fancy 6-year-old.
I mean, this kid, and I need some advice, Mark. You got the daughters. She gives me the one eyebrow up and says, "Dad, seriously?" She does that all the time. Everything that comes, every attempt at a joke is,
"Look,
Dad, seriously?"
I will tell you, all of you future husbands that are going to, or future fathers, boys for the dad is good. You got that. You do,
yep.
But just know that when you give birth to a baby girl, you are toast. These little girls, when daddy comes home from work and she bounds up and her hair is bouncing and gives daddy a big hug, you are gone. You don't exist. There's nothing you can do. She has your heart. You'll never be able to be worth anything ever again.
You're done. You're all done. Forget it.
Well, Eric, tell her happy birthday for us.
I sure will. Thank you so much for wishing her. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Anna.
Now, we have a text poll going. What do you think when you see a mother breastfeeding in public? We put a text poll up. What do they text 21003?
They either text, "You go," or "Hell no."
Now, Mikey, what are the results we have going so far?
So far, yes, or "you go," as Gina says, is winning. But, you know, we get some more votes in there. Maybe no can get a little closer.
Wait, are you hoping for no?
No. I mean, yeah, no.
No, okay.
No.
Mark, we just got an email about this from a mother of 3 girls. Do you want me to share it with you?
I do.
All right.
I do.
She says, "I'm listening. As a mom that breastfed all 3 of my babies, it's not a big deal to breastfeed in public. There's nothing about it, but baby needs to eat fast. I never understood why people are so offended, as there are so many other things to care about. I certainly felt the pressure to cover up when I did breastfeed, and I had this thing called the hooter hider. It was the best, like an apron you wear around your neck. It covers the baby. It has an opening so you can see the baby, and it stayed put with a pretty piece of fabric. Anyway, I don't think people will ever understand until they have a baby themselves or know someone who does. Breastfeeding doesn't come easy for all moms, and it would be liberating to not shame any mom wanting to feed their child naturally. Good for the moms confident enough to just whip it out and feed their baby. It is so good for the child, nutrition, bonding. It should be encouraged. It produces healthy children. And I agree with Mark. It's hot.
It is hot. What's your name?
Agnes.
As soon as Agnes finished writing that, she reached down to her ankles to scratch her boobs. Okay.
Mark. Mark, you need to tread very lightly because women who are breastfeeding are not happy with you right now.
I couldn't help myself.
Yeah. Are my fans still out there, Rosie?
Yep, Miss Jody. I guess there's no accounting for taste.
Chinese inventors have created a $150,000 robot that could solve all parking problems forever. The robot easily slides underneath your car and lifts it up. Guided by lasers, it then picks a convenient spot in the parking lot, even when the lot is very full, and places the car in the perfect spot. The device requires no tracks, can navigate the tightest of spaces, move in any direction, and needs only 2 minutes to finish the job.
How?
Well, it's obviously very powerful.
Yeah.
It slides under the cart, lifts it off the ground,
and then knows exactly where. Place.
And I think one of the reasons that this is kind of needed is that in China there is such a population problem. Parking must obviously be a problem.
A nightmare.
All I heard was it fits in small places and only takes 2 minutes to finish.
It's your board up, Mark.
Yeah. Mikey had a funny the other day and he held back. He didn't do it. And I encouraged him. When you've got something worthy, the problem with Mikey is that he has no ability to determine whether it's actually funny
it's
or
true.
Not.
Well, I think it's funny, but what you think is funny and I think is funny, I think are sometimes different.
But do you remember what you said? Because even I thought it was funny.
Yeah. You said, I don't remember what Mark said. It was something about with the Beatles thing. A thing of camels is called a group of camels is called a, let's just say.
Caravan.
Oh, caravan. Okay. And I said, wouldn't it be a toe of camels?
that was a good one. But you also had a boob joke.
Oh, I did?
Yeah, I don't remember it.
I don't remember it either. I don't know.
I would have left that toe camel thing off the air.
I actually got fan mail for that.
It made me laugh.
People loved it.
One person loved it, Mikey. Let's
two
not
people.
Go with
people.
Person loved it.
Two people, which accumulates to, I
think. All of Mikey's adoring fan loved it.
Yes. Two people equals 10,000, I think, in the world of radio.
Uh-huh.
So.
Okay.
You go ahead. That makes you sleep at night. Good
does,
on you.
It does.
Spanning the globe to bring you the constant variety of sport, the thrill of victory, and the agony of defeat.
So, Todd, who with the Rams is rumored to be potentially on the hot seat?
Well, this is NFL writers for ESPN.com. They have a panel of them, and they ask the question, who's on the hot seat in the NFC West? In the NFC West. And number one by far was Rams coach Jeff Fisher.
Wow.
And, I think it's there's been a string of years right around 500. They haven't really busted up. When he was at Tennessee, a lot of seasons right around 500. He got to that Super Bowl that one time, but they lost to the Rams, obviously, too, in that one Super Bowl. But I think that it's kind of like, you've been a coach for a long time and we're ready to go, especially when you come to a new town. You got to show something in that first year to really kind of, ignite the fan base. So I think that's kind of the reason why.
Well, look, he has one of the best running backs in the NFL, or at least based on his rookie season, Todd Gurley. He's had a little bit of an issue at quarterback, and it's still kind of an issue. They've got Carson Wentz. They don't know if they're going to go with him.
No, Jared Goff.
Jared Goff.
Goff, yeah.
They're not sure if they're going to go with him. Who is it, Nick Foles?
Nick Foles and then Case Keenum. Those are the quarterbacks. But you see, they've also, the Rams in the past, let's several years, have had lots of top draft choices. They got a bunch of draft choices in the RG3 deal. And they did have a pretty solid defense, but now some of the guys that core the defense, Chris Long and James Laurinaitis, are gone. So we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, look, we're already starting to talk about football. At the end of this month, they start reporting to training camp, and that right there is great news for football fans. Not so great news for Tom Brady. The federal appeals court rejected his request to overturn his suspension, so it looks like he's going to have a 4-game suspension here at the beginning of this season. Unless, of course, it goes to the Supreme Court. And you know something? I just think our U.S. Supreme Court should have to deal with the deflated footballs. You know what I mean?
I'd like to see the judge bang his gavel and go, sick of talking about it. Shut up.
Exactly. Move on. Take your suspension and go home. All right. Hey, baseball last night, the All-Star game. And once again, it is the American League that beats the National League 4-2. The American League's won 4 in a row, 11 of the last 14. The Royals were the stars. Eric Hosmer and Salvador Perez. Home runs in the third inning. In the second inning off Johnny Cueto. And Hosmer was the game's MVP. Probably the biggest moment of the game, though, when David Ortiz, the retiring Boston Red Sox DH, walked to first base, and then he took him out for a pinch runner, and he really got a very, very nice, nice award, a nice
Todd,
applause.
Another great moment, Big Poppy, was at the plate, and the pitcher for the National League, they're buddies, and he throws a curveball, and it hits Big Poppy. As he was walking, he starts pointing to the pitcher like he's gonna, you know, and the pitcher was cracking up. It was a great moment.
Well, and Big Poppy was too, like, hey, one more pitch inside of me and I'm coming for you. You know, they were just joking, and it was fun. That was a very good moment. And this is cool. I thought that before the game, they announced that from now on, the American League batting champion will receive the Rod Carew Award trophy, and the National League batting champion will be the Tony Gwynn Award. And certainly, you know, in my lifetime, Rod Carew won 7 American League batting titles. I think only Ty Cobb won more, and Tony Gwynn won 8 National League titles, so that was very neat. For the local players, Mike Trout 1-for-3, Corey Seager 0-for-1, Kenley Jackson had a strikeout, and we didn't see it on American TV, but the Tenors, which is a British Columbia group from Vancouver, British Columbia, sang the Canadian national anthem, and they changed the words in the national anthem to, "We're all brothers and sisters, all lives matter to the great." And, of course, that's kind of taken off on Black Lives Matters, All Lives Matters. And we didn't see it, but I guess it's created somewhat of a whoop-de-doo in Canada because the Canadian audience.
What's the original lyric?
I don't know. Okay. I mean, it's, you know, I know the tune, but I don't know the words.
We need to brush up on our neighbors to the north because I don't think anybody knows what it is.
Exactly.
Oh, Canada,
our home and native land.
Something about a maple leaf.
I'm out after Oh, Canada.
Ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da. Okay. God shed his grace on thee, something like that. Okay. Hey, yes. I mean, you know, so anyway. Or God save the Queens in there somewhere, too, I think, you know. So anyway. Hey, NBA news. Adam Silver, the commissioner, is concerned that Kevin Durant going to the Warriors is putting too much power in one city, and he wants to see all the great players spread out among all the teams. You think that's better for the game? But how are you supposed to do that? You know what I mean? It's free agency. You got a right to go where you want to go. I thought the comments were kind of ridiculous.
Well, you know, to me, the one that got it right is the NFL. The worst team gets the best player. The best team gets the last guy standing. And then there's revenue sharing. I just think that the NFL, as a blueprint, got it right.
I believe, you know, you're absolutely right. Their revenue sharing and their draft, the way they draft, there's more parity because every year I think teams go in and saying, you know, I think we got a chance. Where, you know, in the NBA next year, like, and I've joked about this, but it's true. It's like if you're in the NBA West, which the Lakers and Clippers are, you're saying, well, who's playing for second place? First place is going to the Warriors.
Right.
And if you're in the NBA East, you're going, okay, who's playing for second place? There's LeBron and
And also, Todd, let me say, how many times have we seen? I'll give you Philadelphia Eagles last year. They load the team with every great name on the field, and they were just a powerhouse, and they sucked.
Yeah,
you know, it just doesn't work.
Teams that draft well win in the NBA. And, you know, I want to apologize right now to Mikey yesterday. You know, we were doing the Kobe, Tim Duncan thing.
It got
heated.
You
know, going back and forth. It got a little bit of heated. And I feel bad for Mike. You know, the guy is an Angels and a Raiders fan. Hasn't he suffered enough?
Oh,
you know what I mean? So I really do feel
bad. Kick him when he's down.
But I will say this for Kobe, though. So some great news for Kobe Bryant and his wife. They announced, and I know Gina, trended this earlier, expecting a baby girl, their third daughter, to join Natalia and Gianna, and he already got a Baby Mamba t-shirt for him. Now, isn't that funny, Mikey, how Kobe makes the announcement on the day that Tim Duncan retires? You think he's trying to steal Tim Duncan's thunder?
Come
what do you think? He couldn't wait till next week, right, Mikey?
How many kids
he had upstage him? He just had to upstage him.
Oh,
how many kids does he have? I don't know.
He has, maybe
Yeah, no, stop it.
This is quickly becoming my favorite feature.
Kobe has five championships, man. Look, leave him alone. He's got one for every finger on his right hand.
Well, and so does Tim Duncan. So there you go. Come on. Mike, I love you. I love you. I love Frontier Toyota in beautiful Valencia, California. Enormous selection of certified pre-owned cars, 0% Camrys and Corollas, Tacoma, Tundra, tops and trucks. It's Frontier Toyota.
Mark in the morning and Andy in the afternoon are going to be, along with Joe Benson and Chick on the Street, at the Orange County Fair July 23rd at noon for a show. We're not just making an appearance. We're putting on a show. If you want to be in Family Feud, we're going to give away a family four-pack. Dial 888-696-1003. All right. So, we kind of didn't realize we're going to play Family Feud, but I've run out of Family Feud questions. I'll have some more tomorrow. So while playing the Family Feud theme, we're going to play a quick round of fact or crap. Wait, where is it? Where's my Family Feud?
Mm-hmm. This is going awesome.
All right, our first contestants are David and Louise. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, I'm going to ask each of you one fact or crap. You each get a turn. As soon as we have a clear winner, you'll be in the championship round. David, you're first.
Thank you.
Fact or crap. McDonald's writes angry letters whenever a dictionary includes an entry for McJob.
Fact.
That is fact. We go to Louise. Louise, one of the investment bankers who lost his job in 2008 was Gene Simmons, who sang in the band Kiss. Fact or crap?
Crap.
It is crap. David, back to you. Two executive prime ministers of New Zealand were killed by lightning. Fact or crap?
That's fact.
That is not fact. That's crap. Louise, if you answer this correctly, you're in the championship round. Thailand celebrates Buddha's birthday with a giant day-long pie fight. Fact or crap?
Crap.
That is correct.
Oh, I wanted that to be a fact.
All right, Louise, you are in the championship round. Jackie, give me Lisa and Teresa. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right, you each get a fact or crap. As soon as we got a winner, we do the championship round. Lisa, you're first. Fred Lors won the 1904 Olympic marathon because he drove 11 miles of it. Fact or crap?
Fact.
It is fact. Teresa. Mike Nash, a Microsoft VP, couldn't install Microsoft Vista on his laptop. Fact or crap?
Fact.
It is fact. Back to you, Lisa. The Boston Bruins once defeated the Boston Celtics in a charity game of underwater football. Fact or crap?
Crap.
It is crap. Teresa, the Jamaican bobsled team won a bronze medal in Calgary.
Fact.
That is crap. Lisa, you move into the championship round with Louise.
Yay.
Okay, here we go, guys. Fact or crap, Louise. Robert Redford was born in Roswell, New Mexico, 9 months after UFOs were first spotted there. Fact or crap?
Crap.
It is crap. Lisa, there are two different Harrison Fords on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Fact or crap?
Fact.
It is fact. Back to Louise. Abraham Lincoln's full name was Abraham Bradley Pitt Lincoln. Fact or crap?
Fact.
That's crap. Lisa, if you answer this correctly.
Oh, would that it were.
Lisa, if you answer this correctly, you get a family four-pack to the Orange County Fair. Winston Churchill wrote a series of books on fly fishing. Fact or crap?
Fact.
Crap, we're still going. Louise.
Yes.
The South African police minister once tried to murder a black activist by poisoning his underwear. Fact or crap?
Crap.
No, it's fact. Lisa, if you get this right, you win the four pack. The game of Risk was invented in France by a movie director. Fact or crap?
Fact.
It is fact. Lisa, you are going to the Orange County Fair July 23rd, noon to 3 to see Mark in the morning and Andy in the afternoon. Congratulations.
I love you.
Love you back, girl. All right, so Pokemon, a go. This game is everywhere. Everybody's doing it, so we need to talk through some of the points on this. Now, Michael is here. If you don't know, this game, I don't know that we've ever experienced a game that swept so quickly. Yeah. Michael is our social media guy for Mark in the Morning. Michael, can you explain to people who don't know what this is, what it is?
So it is a game where people play on their mobile phone and they catch Pokemon in the real world.
Now, part of the problem is that people, because the game, you're looking at your phone and you're walking.
Yes.
People are walking into traffic. They're walking into walls because they're playing this game.
They're walking into 9/11 memorials and Holocaust museums where they're being asked to please not play Pokemon Go in here.
Well, there's one plus. Before this game, people were not walking anywhere.
That's true. They were sitting on the couch playing games.
Now, Michael, there's also reports for certain servers that if you're on like an iOS, people can see all of your vital information.
That's scary. I didn't know that.
Yeah, basically, it's if you use the iOS and a Google account to sign up for Pokemon, the app is granted full access to your entire Google library.
Oh, my God.
And that means what you have to do is you can't just do a software update. You have to go into the Google support page, and it'll say, see and modify nearly all information in your Google account, and then go ahead and click on that, and it'll stop it.
But that boy,
Michael, do you have it up right now?
I do.
Did you, true or false, you caught a Pokemon on Danny's head the other day?
Danny's my good luck charm. Anytime Danny's around, there's a Pokemon on him. Everywhere he goes.
All right, so Michael, you play this game, and I never will. What is it about it that has millions of people playing it?
Everyone wanted to be a Pokemon trainer when they grew up, at least in my generation. And plus, you get to go find new Pokemon and get to go to graveyards and random places you wouldn't go.
Oh, goody.
What was the very first video game? Like when video first became a thing, was it Atari? What was it?
I think it was Pong.
Pong, yeah.
And I love Pong.
I was 30 when Pong came out.
Oh my God, Mark, you're ancient.
No, it came out in 74. You were young enough to play it?
Yeah, he didn't care.
Now, Michael, is this going to come to an end, or is it just going to get bigger?
It's already made $14 million, so it's not going anywhere.
Oh, my God. In less than a week.
In less than a week.
And it's already bigger than Twitter.
Yes, bigger than Twitter.
Now, Gina, you have a clip of something?
We do. We have a woman who is fed up with all of this in her car, ranting and raving about how people keep coming into her work to do this.
So everyone is playing the Pokemon game. And they keep coming into my work to catch the Pokemons, okay? And so I thought, because I didn't understand how it worked, if I downloaded the game, I could catch all the Pokemons in my work and people would quit coming to catch them. But that's not how it works. So now I have a bunch of Pokemons and there's people still coming in to get the Pokemons. So now I feel like a nerd because I'm like, oh, go back there, make a left, zoom past over there, and Squirtle's in Lawn and Garden, by the way. But Lawn and Garden's not my area, so I can't go get it. But that's where my livelihood is right now. Now I feel stupid, but I want to catch them, but I feel stupid. This is just not where I saw myself at 27 years old.
Boy, does she not sound 27.
I know.
Well, here's what's going to happen. We're going to have continual places banning this game to be played on their premises. I was under the console with a flashlight, excuse me.
See, check it out. Yeah, look at you. That was like the world's worst magic trick. Where's Mark? Hi, one second.
Let's find out what's trending. Here's Gina Grant.
Well, as Mark mentioned earlier, Jennifer Aniston, who isn't on social media, decided to write an op-ed for the Huffington Post about how she's fed up being asked about her relationships and if she's ever going to have a baby. Former boy band singer Lance Bass will host a gay dating show on Logo that is currently in production and will premiere this fall. It's called Finding Prince Charming. And move over, Duckface. The new trend online is, Mark, you're gonna love it.
I'm ready.
Fish braing. That's what? The new duck face. You're going to love this. It's basically when a topless woman, she's usually standing by a lake, holds a fish up in front of her boobies.
Good God.
You can see pictures. It's on Mark in the Morning Facebook.
There was a survey when women look at pictures of men. Overwhelmingly, the men that were holding a fish in the picture got chosen as the most attractive.
Well, maybe there's a correlation there because they are naked and they're holding fish.
Something's going on.
I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. We know more about Jupiter than ever before, and Mark's buddy Dr. Fracknoy is going to tell us how we did it. That's coming up at 8:50. But first, Talking Heads, this is Mark in the Morning.
Now, Gina and Tim can relate to this because their dog suffers as Red does. Our dogs are terrified of thunder.
Right.
And Red thinks he can climb out of it.
Oh, poor baby.
Now, the reason I bring this up, Linda read a story about a new medication that, if in fact works, what it does, it doesn't drug the dog. It goes to their brain and blocks the area of their brain that they're frightened of.
Like a beta blocker.
Correct. We went to our vet, who's the best vet I've ever had, and we talked about this drug. And he said, I've heard from one person who's tried it. They said it's night and day.
Oh, wow.
And so he ordered some for us, and we're looking forward to getting it. Becky is calling from Visalia. She has tried it. Oh. Good morning, Becky.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. Now, to be clear, does your dog suffer from fear of loud noises, thunder and lightning?
Oh yes. She's like a little Red. She's a Pomeranian, but she thunder, fireworks,
mm-hmm.
And then I live in an agricultural area, so they put bombs off, like, I don't know, some kind of cannons or something, so that the birds won't eat the fruit.
And those dogs just start vibrating. They're shaking so bad.
Yeah.
And she starts scratching at her gate to try and get out. Oh. And just her heart races. And she's happiest under the bed.
Yeah.
But. All right. So this drug, it's basically a syringe. And as the thunder is coming, you pull your dog's bottom lip out and inject this gel down onto the lip. And it apparently...
Injection is, I mean, it's not an actual injection with a needle. It's
right.
Just
you're just putting gel in there.
Fluid.
So,
yeah.
Becky, tell us, did it work for your dog?
Yes, it absolutely worked for her for 4th of July. And the doctor said, this is new stuff. I don't know what, you know, just give it a try and see if it works. And actually, you should do it like when you know it's coming, like obviously for 4th of July.
Yeah, let it work into the system.
Right. And but only like maybe 20 minutes, half an hour before. Mm. And it lasts for 3 hours. And I put it just between her, actually by her cheek. And she was still, like, she still wanted to be with me. And as long as she was next to me, she was okay, and she was, like, sitting there looking around, but she was not freaking out.
Wow.
She didn't have to go under the bed.
So I'm going to get mine here pretty soon, and based on what Becky just said, and I'll report with what Red, but if this stuff is for real, this is going to revolutionize what we have to do as far as our dogs that are frightened of everything. So I'll report. A Florida woman... This is my favorite story of the day. A Florida woman who drove her car directly into a stranger's home last week was charged with driving under the influence of the Lord, sweet baby Jesus. The 28-year-old motorist, whose name was not released, lost control of her car after blowing through a stop sign. She insists she didn't see it, because she was praying while driving with her eyes closed.
Oh, no.
She failed to stop, missed a turn off entirely, and then hit the side of a house in the town of Mary Esther. She got stuck in the patch of sand trying to back out of the yard. The woman was cited for reckless driving with property damage, but does not face any jail time.
At least Jesus wasn't held as an accomplice.
So if you haven't heard about this, this is just about as bad as it gets. Lamar Odom's downward spiral sped up Monday night when he was thrown off a flight from Los Angeles to New York for puking all over the first class cabin during a drunken binge. According to TMZ, the disgraced NBA star reportedly got wasted at an airport lounge at the LA airport, then staggered to his flight, where he vomited in the cabin, in the bathroom, and on himself. Flight attendants escorted Odom from the plane as a cleaning crew was brought on to clean the mess, but he tried to sneak back on, still covered in his own vomit. Imagine a 7-foot guy trying to sneak.
Oh my God. How do they, aren't they supposed to not let you on the plane if you're that drunk? Or do they not care?
That would be the word. Now, Linda heard, or might have read, that he was at a strip club before, but this story says a lounge at the LA airport.
Or both.
Look, this is not going to end well.
Yeah.
Chloe found a pipe of some kind in the house that she paid $25,000 a month where he lived. She finds the pipe, allegedly, and kicked him out.
Right.
So he's got no place to live. I don't think he has any money. And then you hear this.
Yeah, that's bad. Bad, bad. So this was at the very least, before the plane took off? Because I think so. Okay, a little silver lining to this horrible story.
Good God. All right, let's find out what's happening in the stars. We welcome Andrew Fracknoy, Professor Fracknoy, an astronomy professor for Foothill College. And I'm going to warn you, for those of you that have never listened to Professor Fracknoy, he's perfect for guys like me because he always speaks in a level, which is fifth grade, so I can understand it. He is great to listen to, and he is a friend. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning, and I don't think you should sell yourself short. Sixth grade, at least.
Sixth grade.
Now, so that you know, at Foothill College, students line up to get in his class because you're about to find out why. It's so interesting. Professor, what are you going to update us on today in the stars?
Well, I think we should talk about the mission to Jupiter. There's been much in the news, and it's really quite exciting. We have a brand new spacecraft that has just gone into orbit around the biggest planet in our solar system, Jupiter.
Didn't it take 5 years to get there?
Absolutely. And by the way, it's the fastest vehicle that human beings have ever built. Nothing has moved this fast, and yet it took 5 years to get to Jupiter. And it even needed a little gravity boost from Earth. They brought it around Earth again so it could steal a little bit of energy from the Earth's rotation. And it still took it 5 years to get to Jupiter.
So this thing, what exactly is it going to do now that it's arrived?
Well, this is the interesting part. So we've already had spacecraft around Jupiter, both flybys and an orbiter that called Galileo that's given us a lot of good pictures and information. What we don't know a lot about is what's inside Jupiter. Jupiter is a giant ball of gas and liquid. In fact, if you tried to land on Jupiter, you wouldn't. You just sink in and in and in. Mm. But what it's like inside is very interesting. The pressure of all this material, even though it's gas and liquid, it still has tremendous weight. And so the pressure inside is so great that elements no longer behave the way that they behave on our planet. For example, the simple element hydrogen, which is usually a gas on Earth, becomes a kind of liquid metal inside Jupiter and makes it the biggest magnet of all the planets. So we're going to try to study the magnetic field of Jupiter, the internal structure of Jupiter. It's going to fly over the north and south poles of Jupiter, which we haven't seen very well, and give us our first views of those regions of the planet.
Wow. All right, let me ask a stupid question, which I always do, and thank you for letting me do it. So you said Jupiter is magnetic. Why is this probe not being pulled to its surface?
Well, absolutely a great question. And in fact, we're very worried about
Mark's
this.
Proud.
Because the magnetic field is so strong, it's not so much its pull, but the radiation that results. That's the biggest issue. So because Jupiter is a magnet, it attracts little charged particles. The spacecraft isn't charged, so it's not attracted. But charged or chargeable things get attracted to magnets, and so the environment right around Jupiter is filled with high-energy particles zooming around and really could hurt the electronics of the spacecraft. So we've actually put the brains of the spacecraft inside a half-inch thick titanium-walled vault so that the brains are separated from the outside instruments and the brains don't get fried when it gets into this radiation zone of Jupiter.
Dr. Fracknoy, is there anything that we're seeing from Jupiter that we could harness or mine, I guess, for lack of a better word, that we could use here?
No, this is Jupiter is really quite far away. If we're going to be mining anything, it's not going to be the moons of Jupiter. It's going to be much more likely a planet like Mars, which is significantly closer to us. But here's the neat part. Jupiter surrounds, although I said Jupiter is not a solid, Jupiter is surrounded by solid moons. And on one of those moons, there's an underground ocean deep under the ice of that moon. We think there's now good evidence that there's a deep ocean inside which there's heat. And so that might actually be a place where life, completely different life from Earth, might have begun millions or billions of years ago.
Yes.
And so that might be an independent place to search for life.
Now, Professor Fracknoy, we've talked about this on many occasions, and I always find it to be a uniquely interesting conversation because our sun is exactly that. It is a star. And our planet is positioned the exact distance needed for an atmosphere. An atmosphere causes life. Now, we know that there's billions and billions of other stars, and it would be ridiculous of us to think that we were the only planet the perfect distance from its star or its sun that would create life. The problem is getting to them. In your mind, will we ever have travel that's fast enough that we can get to alien life form?
Well, ever is a really long time, especially toward the end. So I don't know how to answer that question. But in terms of the recent future, the times that are coming up, probably not. Let me give an example that will help people. The fastest spacecraft that we've built so far, if it were going in the direction of the nearest star, would not take 5 years to get there, but would take 80,000 years to get there. And it's hard to get graduate students to volunteer for that trip. the distance to the stars is truly enormous. So we are thinking not so much of sending spacecraft there, but sending signals at the speed of light. A signal like the radio signal with which we communicate right now with your listeners, that radio signal to or from the stars would get to the nearest star in 4 years. Even my impatient students could wait that long. And so that's the way we think we're going to get in touch with and learn more about what's out there in terms of other forms of life, is to use signals traveling at the speed of light.
Well, that's all well and good and sounds exciting, but after movies like The Matrix and all, I think we could probably be cool just living and not worrying about it, who's coming to get us.
Here's one of my favorite...
That's right. If we have trouble getting to the stars, that's also reassuring in terms of any slobbering evil aliens getting to us. If travel is difficult, that insulates us from anybody like the creatures in Independence Day and so on.
This is one of my favorite fun facts that Professor Fracknoy has shared. From the Big Bang to now, let's say that that's a calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
From the Big Bang to now is a calendar year. The time that there was life on Earth inside that calendar, the time that there is life of any kind on Earth is basically New Year's Eve.
What?
Isn't that great?
Let's just say large-scale life, because we had small life before that. But if you're looking at life like us, life like our ancestors and like us, yes, it's basically the last few minutes of that calendar year that life like humans could have existed on our planet. And so that's another reason we think it's going to be quite a challenge to find other forms of life. We don't know how early they began. We don't know how long civilizations last. We have to catch them before they destroy themselves. And so this is a big challenge for us. And the thing that makes us optimistic about life out there, though, is the numbers that you began with, that there are billions and billions of stars out there. We're now finding that maybe half of them have planets around them. And so the chances that we'll find somewhere out there another Earth and maybe other listeners to programs like this is getting better all the time.
You've been listening to Professor Andrew Fracknoy, an astronomer at Foothill College. Professor, a pleasure as always.
It's so nice to speak with you.
Let's take a look at what's trending. Final for the day, here's Gina Grant.
Well, Mark, I know you are loving Pokemon Go. I know you have it loaded on your phone, so this is especially for you. Some users are sharing nude photos of themselves with Pokemon graphics superimposed in strategic places. Or in the midst of sexual activities with Pokemon creatures in the frame, if you want to, you know, have a third in there. Others are snapping pictures of themselves fully clothed, but with Pokemon creatures, specifically a little tiny brown guy named Diglett that's phallic, and they put that in a suggestive place. So people are having all kinds of fun with these Pokemon, Mark.
That's a cute name you gave yourself, Mark. Diglett. I like that.
Oh, yeah, that's cute. Meanwhile, we really do need to calm it down with where we are putting these Pokemon, because it is sending players to all sorts of inappropriate places. And now the newest one between the museums and the memorials is where civil rights icon Rosa Parks is buried. But they are warning gamers they need to stay out of the way. The Woodlawn Cemetery, I believe in Detroit, says the popular game has drawn players into the cemetery to hunt down these little characters. They've been disrupting during funeral services and have run all over Park's burial. Places like, again, like the Holocaust Museum and the memorials at Arlington Cemetery, they said your Pokemon are not welcome here. I'm Gina Grad, and that's what's trending online. This is Mark in the Morning, and this is Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Hump day done for us, not for Uncle Joe, and his face shows it. However,
just getting warmed up, baby.
The 10 at 10 will cheer him up.
Indeed, that's just going to be backdrop for some of this stuff here. Sounds 10 to 10, supported by Cedars-Sinai, LA's best doctors at LA's most preferred hospital. Call 1-800-CEDARS-1. Today, Mark, the theme is a mystery. It's going to be difficult to figure out. I'm going to tell you this. You're not going to guess it to begin with. You're going to have to... No, Professor Fracknoy might stand a chance at this after it's done. 10 to 10 coming up. It's a mystery, I'm telling you.
Tomorrow, we've got 5 seconds for $20. That's why everybody's talking about. The very funny Philip Palmer from KABC is going to be with us. You'll love it. But there is drama tomorrow. Christian Hand is going to be on to break down the music. But what will he break down?
Will it
be the Who? Will it be the Rolling Stone? Well, there's no way of knowing until tomorrow. Back on Mark in the Morning.
Ah! Was that right? Did I do it this time?
Mikey,
I need it to be urgent. Here's Foreigner. There's nothing for that song. Mark in the Morning.
You need what to be urgent?
I don't know.
Want more Mark in the Morning? Live and in living color in Southern California. Listen weekday mornings from 6 to 10 on 100.3 FM.